This country spends just 5% of the total health budget on mental health. That compares with 13% in the UK. The World Health Organization recommends a spend of 12%, while Sláintecare, which we were talking about earlier, is proposing that it should be 10%. The figures were discussed today by Mental Health Reform at a hearing of the Oireachtas Health Committee. We can talk now to Fiona Coyle, CEO of Mental Health Reform. Fiona Coyle, very good afternoon to you. Thanks for talking to us on the programme. You're urging in the run-up to Budget 2022 a very significant increase in the spend on mental health.
Yes, as you outlined there, you know, Ireland is far behind its own kind of target of 10%, and indeed compared to its peers, it's very much underinvested in mental health, and the pandemic, you know, has exposed deficits in our mental health system that need to be addressed. And you know, we're really urging the government to address that deficit in the upcoming budget.
There's also the question, of course, of an underspend, I think, in mental health so far this year. Is that right? As a result of COVID-19, and you're concerned that that money could be lost. It should be ring-fenced, you're saying.
Yeah, so in February of this year, the Taoiseach made an additional €10 million commitment into mental health. And from what we know, that money has not yet been allocated. So it's really important, I think, you know, it's about money, but it's also about leadership. And, you know, to drive forward through those barriers, one of the calls that we have is that there needs to be a senior director level position within the HSE reporting into the CEO, that really drives forward the reform that's needed to put in place services that people deserve around the country.
Where is the underspending, in your view, most acutely felt? Where is the crisis most apparent?
Yeah, I think, you know, many people listening, their first point of call would be to go to their GP, and we see that in primary care, you know, when you look at the list, there are over 10,000 people waiting for primary care psychology appointments, many of those, half of those indeed, waiting over a year. So, you know, that's a serious build up. And then if you look at some of our specialised services, you know, the children adolescent mental health services, you know, there's long waiting lists there. And also, we have really brilliant national clinical programmes in areas such as eating disorder or early intervention, psychosis. And, you know, they have models of care ready to be rolled out across the country, and that could be scaled up, that could get people that really specialised support that they need at the earliest possible stage.
And particularly the delays in the children's and adolescent services, what are the consequences of that for young people and their families?
Yeah, like the consequences are huge. I think when you think of a young person, it's not just their family, their immediate family that's impacted. You know, there's a stress around, you know, someone waiting for care, but also for their schools, for their broader community. And there's over 2,730 children, you know, waiting this year to be seen. So we really need to kind of prioritise that and ensure that, you know, these children get the care they need to live the best possible life that they can.
One other issue you raised today was your concerns around Part 5 of the emergency measures legislation. This is arising from the pandemic. What are your concerns there?
Yeah, so you know, that act was put in place during a very particular stage of the pandemic, but it really it kind of removes safeguards for service users, and it infringes on service users' rights under UN conventions. And in fact, you know, the Mental Health Commission has noted, you know, it hasn't needed to use any of what's in the act. It's tried to ensure, you know, procedural rights are respected. So if it's, you know, if it's not in compliance with human rights, it's not being used, then why do we have it in our legislation? So we would want it removed, because it doesn't set a good precedent to have loopholes like that in our legislation.
Very good. Fiona Coyle from Mental Health Reform. Thank you.